This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Now that I think about it, I dreamt about
best band ever.
Yeah, I dreamt about McCartney last
close?
Night.
I think the Beatles might be the best band ever.
They have to be.
But I like the Rolling Stones better.
John,
I think the Beatles might be the best.
With you,
but okay. I like Rolling.
I always have.
Stones
okay.
better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
James,
I would go Beatles, but I think it's really close. The Stones are as close as you can get, but I would go Beatles.
When you say the Beatles have more great songs.
No, not necessarily.
Really?
I mean, the Stones have a ton of great songs.
But I feel like the Beatles
the Stones
have 100.
Done it, but the Stones did it for five times as long.
Yeah, yeah, but they haven't done anything new
in 4 years. No, but even still, no. Like, they have stuff from the 80s that's pretty new, you know? I mean, or that's not new. I mean, that's still,
good.
Like, hits. Like, Angie and stuff is from the 80s and stuff like that. But I generally agree. I think 89, 90 range was the last time they really had
to. It's a great debate.
All right, Belichick. Let's get to this audio. This is it's kind of wild. So, Billy Belichick was on, and I actually love this show, on Sunday mornings, the CBS Sunday Morning Show.
Great
I think it's maybe the best show on television. I mean that. They do these features that are really interesting. And so they had a feature on Belichick. And there were two things that really stood out from the interview. One is the interaction of him and his, and just the whole dynamic with him and his 24-year-old girlfriend. And the other was his answer about Robert Kraft, who, of course, was his boss that he worked so closely with for about a quarter century. All right, so let's play the audio first of Belichick being interviewed. And the girlfriend, who, John, is rather attractive.
You're allowed to say that, Joe.
No, I think so. I just... she's extraordinarily attractive. No, she's a good-looking girl.
Dude, she's too young for us, much less for Bill.
Let me tell you something. If I was single, 24 would be nothing, man.
Nah.
24 would be nothing.
Can't do it.
I'd be hitting the college campuses. Oh,
they're closer to my daughter's age than my age. I can't do that.
I love how you say stop, Ruben.
A 24-year-old...
47 can't get with 24?
Stop dude, a 24-year-old is closer to my 6-year-old daughter's age than my age, much less your age.
All right, well, Belichick's like 70-something. He's with a
24-year-old.
72. All right, so
doesn't make it... better.
I know. It's a weird dynamic. So Belichick is on camera being interviewed. His girlfriend is about 15 to 20 feet away, not on the main camera, but they've got a different camera that's got a shot over toward her, but she's not the one being interviewed. Listen to this exchange. Belichick's being asked about the girlfriend. She chimes in from across the room.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
And that was it.
That's done. Weird, man.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
That's really weird.
They did
really
online.
Weird.
Maybe on those online thing.
It does, whatever it was, like, that's weird.
Right?
Like, Bill Belichick is being interviewed and asked a question, and his 24-year-old girlfriend shuts it down.
Well, you know what's the
off camera?
And James, you know what's the irony to it? Nobody in human history was better at not answering a question.
Right.
Than Bill Belichick.
100%.
I think Belichick could handle the moment.
What a great point, yes.
He'd say, we're on to the next question.
You'd see some of the clips.
We're on to Cincinnati.
She's actually going onto the field while he's while he's coaching?
Well, oh, so yeah. they have to run emails that's by crazy. Her at North Carolina.
So that's no, kind of crazy. Like,
I saw a video where she interrupted a practice where there was a moment in practice he was talking to other coaches, it looked like, and players,
yeah.
and
right.
she ran up behind them yes. and interjected something.
The whole dynamic is weird. So check this out. So Rhea strange. Found this earlier this morning. Florio's got a Pro Football Talk. I'm going to read right from his article because TMZ had a report. So Florio says this. TMZ reports that at one point, this is going back to the interview, at one point, Jordan Hudson, quote, stormed out of the room and delayed shooting for 30 minutes. Per the report, there were, quote, numerous other instances of Hudson interrupting Belichick beyond the one specific interjection that made the final cut. She reportedly would, quote, stop and correct him when he was answering questions about football. And you can tell, like, CBS using that one thing, maybe they wouldn't have used it if it just happened once, but it strikes me like the producers are like, the heck with this woman.
Yeah,
if she's going to interrupt them 4, 5, 6, 7 times,
they've
whatever the
that.
Numbers.
They've actually, people yeah, at CBS then, have said that that's
make,
why they did it.
Then they make sure it gets in the yeah. in the show.
Yeah.
And that's the only way the public
Because it's part of the interview then.
It's part of the interview.
Correct. Yeah.
So, wild.
Hey, her, and then, his family needs to check in on him.
It's bizarre.
I'm telling you, this is a hostage situation.
And then back, John, to the point you and Ruben were just talking about, in a little bit more football related on the field. So here's also from Florio's article. He says, I'm reading right from it, while pointing out that folks at UNC are worried about Hudson's influence over Belichick in his role as Tar Heels coach, TMZ quotes an unnamed source as saying there's a, quote, growing sense this could become a problem. Could become a problem. It's been a problem. This is what Florio writes. It's been a problem for weeks. She's not employed in any capacity by the football program, but receives and sends emails. Very strange. Very strange. Now, that was...
Being manipulated, it seems.
Yeah. Which is shocking.
Now, let me say this. If I'm 72 years old, manipulate me away. What do I care?
Yeah, I'll but be, you're not representing
I'll be,
a university.
I'll be that guy, Jack Kent Cook. Remember Jack Kent Cook in the 80s? He'd be up in that Washington booth. James, you remember that?
I remember Jack Kent Cook.
Jack
I don't Kent, remember
They
him
would
in the
show.
Booth.
So before Jeff, before Daniel Snyder owned Washington, obviously the dirt ball, what's that guy's name? Dan Snyder owned Washington. Mm-hmm. Before that guy, a different dirt ball. Jack Kent Cook, who previously owned the Lakers.
He was the name of the stadium, right? Wasn't it Jack
yes.
Kent Cook Stadium?
Correct. They would show him during Eagles-Washington games. He would have 10 beautiful women standing there. It was outrageous.
He was an old-looking dude.
He was.
He's
like
looked
the
like old.
And then there's the guy that married Anna Nicole Smith. That's a whole other matter. All right. Now, with all that said, let's get to the other issue from this Belichick interview. The Kraft thing. John, we talked a lot about this over the last couple of years. Like, Belichick-Kraft, Belichick-Brady. Like, what's going on? So here's the deal. CBS was interviewing Belichick because he's got a new book coming out. And should be a fascinating read. There is a very notable person not in the book, which is an almost impossibility given the fact that he ran Robert Kraft's organization for a quarter century. Like, it's almost impossible that Robert Kraft's name wouldn't be in the book.
It's not in the book?
Not even mentioned.
Listen to this exchange from the interview with CBS the other day.
He's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I've experienced directly.
He's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
I mean, it's bonkers, guys.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Huh. He was fired.
Yeah. Well, after the doc it's, thing that
well,
Kraft
he technically
put out,
probably signed a document. So technically it was probably mutual.
Correct.
Because there's probably a payout
correct.
On remaining money.
Correct.
So I think he's accurate to say it was a mutual decision.
Absolutely.
Because he signed a document in all
mm-hmm.
likelihood.
Yeah.
With that said, we all know Belichick was being moved on from by Robert Kraft.
Right.
We also know that, I'll say this one thing in Belichick's defense, because I'm more of a pro-Belichick guy than anti. And I know, Rhea, that drives you nuts.
Yes, it does.
Because, you know, I like Tiger, I like Belichick.
You are against a lot of things that are Philadelphia.
I like Brady.
I mean, I'd just like to point that out. Right.
So here's what I'll say. Kraft was behind that 10-part Patriots show.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
It didn't speak well to Belichick.
It was clearly anti-Belichick,
right.
From the Krafts. We did this. We're important. Yeah, so I get it.
So Belichick's like, the heck with that guy. Which he's got a right to. I mean, it's
100%.
His choice.
The correct is just my favorite part.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, it's the pause, too. Yeah. It's like, waits like 3 seconds, and he's like, correct.
Yes.
All right, you can react on that whole thing. There's a lot there. 215-592-9494. Then there's Ruben Amaro, who was the Phillies GM, was it? Now he's announcing their game. See, things can be harmonious, Ruben.
Not harmonious.
And you know what? I was so happy a couple years ago when you were back in there, man.
I mean that.
We had one caller before we knew you personally. We had one caller that went after you one time. Like, why do they have Ruben Amaro back with the Phillies in the broadcast? I'm like, you know what? First off, you take care of your own. That's number one. Number two, Ruben, you did a lot of great stuff for the Phillies. Yes, it ended rough at the end. We all know that. But you had so many great years with the Phillies. You played. You were a bat boy. You're part of 80, bat boy, 93 player, 08, right, assistant general manager, 09, didn't win a title but got to the World Series as GM. I mean, I thought it was out of line, that guy said it.
It's Phillies family.
You are Phillies family. So I just want you to know.
Well, I appreciate that.
I admire you. I really do.
I mean, the fact that my dad really sort of set the tone in that regard, too, that was big for me.
Good.
You know, that we can still be a part of the community here.
That's awesome.
Pretty fun.
All right, phone calls, reaction on all this coming up in 1 minute. Your reaction to everything we're discussing to you on the phone lines in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center with their decades of experience in complex dental treatment. And I've been a patient there for a long time now, 2 decades. My mom, a patient even longer, 3 decades, with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center, phenomenal at what they do. The originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. If you're like me and you're in pretty good shape with your teeth and it's a year-to-year maintenance issue, good for you. Get yourself to PI Dental Center. They'll take care of you on a year-to-year basis to make sure you stay in good shape. But if you got a big old problem, and there certainly are a lot of people in society, big problem, major pain, maybe you don't like the way you look, self-esteem issue, know that PI Dental Center, they can change you. They can fix you up. They got a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a big-time transformation in a mere 1 day. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, what's going to happen to Dallas Goedert and the Eagles? What the outcome of that will be and more, all available for you on the phone lines. Gary in Vineland, New Jersey. What's going on, Gary?
What's going on? What my kids would say about the Belichick thing, cringy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Good word.
That's my used Lord. Often with the kid talk, cringy. Not as much as fire.
Yeah, fire gets said a lot.
Fire and cringe are kind of comparably overused now.
About sick. That's a big one.
Sick.
Fire is a big one.
Fire is a big one, too.
What about growlfit? Gary, your kids say growlfit?
What?
No.
What?
Growlfit.
No,
what the hell is that?
It's when you're wearing a gray outfit, like sweats on the bottom and sweats on the pants on the top.
They like the sweats.
Growlfit.
The hooded sweatshirt is like the uniform for kids.
Never heard that one.
Yeah, but they don't call it growlfit.
Growlfit's great on like a Saturday or Sunday when you're just bumming around the house. Anyway, Gary, what do you got, buddy?
Richie, what's the best Costello lyric?
Oh man, well for me it would be from Allison, I guess.
How about Red Shoes? I said I'm so happy I could die. She said drop dead and left with another guy.
Man, it's always about the heartache too. That's.
Yeah.
That's what crushes you.
Watching the detectives.
Yep. Best line in the history of music is, scratch my back, baby. Is that Thurgood? Who is that? Is that bourbon, shot, beer, whatever that? Scratch my back, baby.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a great one.
I love that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe actually asks Amy to scratch
well,
his
it's
back
more like
and rub his hands.
Yeah, we're hands and feet and ankles. Oh, the ankles. Oh, around the ankle.
Okay.
Really?
No, I'm serious. It's very soothing. When
you know, the best line from Allison, I see you've got a husband now. Did he leave your pretty fingers lying in the wedding cake? That really, that's evocative.
All right, Gary, give me something on the Birds.
How about, like, I think it's a great draft. I would say, in, you know, AA minus, like, with the picks that he had. I, like you, was shocked that he didn't trade back or trade up with all those picks. But maybe, I mean, they're all saying that next year's draft's going to be better than this year. So maybe.
Could be.
You know, he's holding out.
That could be a strategy. I'll tell you one thing, Gary, as a talk show host and as a sports fan, I don't do. And I'm not ripping you. I'm just telling you, I don't do it. I do not assign grades to general managers after drafts.
No.
Like, how, like, the hell do you know? I mean, seriously. Gary, how many of these guys had you heard of prior to Thursday night that the Eagles got?
That's the best part of watching the draft when they
no,
when
it's
all the
fun.
People are going crazy.
No, I know.
No, I'm saying when all the people are going crazy and they're like, then you got the one guy looking around like, who?
Oh, dude. No. Here's what's better. When the guy still doesn't know who he is but goes wild. He's got that blank expression. He's got like an excited anticipatory expression. Then there's a pick. There's a moment where I'm like, okay, well, I'm trying to process.
Oh, it's the seventh round.
And then 2 minutes later, like,
but the camera's on me.
Yeah!
The camera's on me. And my makeup is good. And I got like the face paint and everything. And Richard Clementi.
Yes.
Love him.
It's incredible.
You can tell.
It's outrageous. Gary, give me a fictional athlete. Best one's probably still available. What do you got?
I think you got to go with the home run leader in the minor leagues, Crash Davis.
No. Minor league.
Yeah.
Again, we're not saying
he
character.
Was solid,
No.
He wasn't even the best in his battery. What are we talking about?
Yes, he wasn't a major leaguer. He played there briefly, early in the career.
Yeah, he was schooling Nuke. Nuke's way more talented.
Much better.
Now, Crash Davis is about the worst answer you can have.
I was going to say that until you said, you said it's the best.
Yeah, the best. Yeah, so, not character. For everyone who's going to still call in, we're not looking for a great character, of which Crash Davis maybe could win. We're looking for the best player.
Have you ever heard any players during all of your years of scouting? Any players, any other players with the Lelouch surname?
Oh, no.
Like
no.
Nuke?
No, Nukes.
I think Lelouch might be a made-up name.
I think you might be right there.
For a fictional character, you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you might be right. Hey, by the way, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get some of the comments on YouTube. So getting near last call to at least get some comments in for the purpose of us having some fun with them on the air. What do you see? Anyone watching YouTube? I'm going to look right at the camera. YouTube people, what do you notice? Hello? What do you notice about our show? Do you see John's glow? I mean, how can you not when you watch YouTube? Now, John's got a little bit of a dour face right now because he's uncomfortable.
I will scowl when you say glow.
You got that covered. But what,
scowl.
What do you notice on YouTube?
No glow. You know what? There's a glow.
There's a glow.
I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
The glow.
Of course it is.
Sure.
Name the coach that said this. John, you should know it. There's a gleam, men.
A gleam?
There's a gleam.
That's
Vince
Lombardi.
It's not Vince Lombardi.
A gleam. That sounds like a toothpaste commercial.
This guy lived in the AFC Championship game.
Toothpaste reminds me of gleaming.
Mid-80s. Seltzer, mid-80s. AFC Championship games. Couldn't get through it.
Marty Schottenheimer?
Bang!
Yep.
Really?
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's go to phones. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, what do you got, buddy?
Morning, team. Good morning, Ruben.
What's up, Ed?
Morning, Ed.
There's a gleam.
Yeah, I could see it in your eyes from my car stereo, John Ritchie.
Yeah. Gleamy.
Got to give a shout out to Ruben, and I'll be perfectly honest. I was very critical of you as a GM, especially in the later years. But since you've been back and I've had time to reflect on it, like not once did you ever not put your best foot forward in trying to make the team better. It wasn't and just learning how difficult these decisions were to make behind the scenes, you know, with the first Cliff Lee, Roy Halladay situation and how that just wasn't going to work. That's just something I didn't understand until you explained it. And I got to give you credit, man. You have one of the toughest jobs in Philly sports. I'm really glad to have you part of the show.
Appreciate that. That's been fun being back on the air. It's been very, very, very cool. Rewarding.
Ed, did Did we ever tell you the story of I think this is like one of the first times that I ever saw Ruben Amaro, and I like walked around the corner and he was crouching, he was kneeling at Joe's feet.
Yeah,
this Joe to camera.
This is wild.
Because Joe put his little costume on from baseball. And he didn't do the stirrups properly. He had no clue how to do the socks and the stirrups. And Ruben was actually down on all fours,
yeah,
like helping Joe, who was clueless with the stirrups, how to properly do his socks and stirrups. And I just thought it was like, man, like, what would Jesus do type moment. I swear to you.
That's ridiculous.
I swear. I really was. And here's the man who, you know, has been widely reviled at times for his moves, you know, while GMing, but as self-effacing as anyone I've ever seen to be kneeling at Joe DeCamera's feet.
We're big admirers.
Next, we had to straighten out his socks.
Next
man.
Step, Ruben will be washing the feet.
Okay.
No. <All
right. laughs> That'll never happen.
All right, Ed, give me what you got on our sports scene.
Yeah, well, it's really kind of an open book as to how this draft could pan out. I mentioned yesterday just some potentially like positive surprises that could happen, and just looking at what happened to Milton Williams, and he had like 3-4 years to develop, and then we just couldn't afford to re-sign him. We're effectively resetting that timeline with this Robinson kid, who's another 6'4", 280. He can play multiple positions on the front. Like, I'm really interested to see how he develops, and I think he probably, next to the safety, is probably most likely to contribute early. Correct, Richie?
Yeah, I think so. The thing I like about Ty Robinson a lot is the versatility in base and nickel. A guy like him who's 6'5", 288, 290 pounds, is cookie cutter defensive end for a 4-3, and you know, a 3-4, or at times a 4-3 if you decide to get big, but 3-4, not the rush end, but the defensive end. You have a nose tackle and then a defensive end on either side. They're called that. And that's a 5-technique, it's called. He's perfect for that in the base. He's perfect to line up anywhere on the interior. A guy who gets after quarterbacks and gets them on the ground. You have a lot of versatility, even you know, off the edge or coming up inside with mismatches against guards.
Hey, Ed, give me an answer for a great fictional athlete.
They had to redraw the district lines because of him, Adam Banks and the Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks, you got it, man.
They did to redraw.
Hey, can I say something about the you know, me coming back here from Philadelphia. So I owe a lot to a lot of people for me getting an opportunity to come back. But really, Dave Buck was the guy at the time that I actually talked to and said, hey, I want to be back on the air and I'm really interested in doing it. And he was, you know, he's always been a pretty good friend.
Great guy.
No longer with the Phillies at this time. But he was really the guy, the impetus behind me getting back on the air with NBC Sports Philadelphia and back with the Phillies.
So, right.
I appreciate it. I thought it was long enough for me to have been away after having coached and, you know, done some other things and then back on MLB Network. But Bucky was really instrumental in
good.
That. So that was a cool
thing. Did you have some, you know, nervousness to step back in?
Yeah.
How people would react and all?
I had some. I had more nervousness, I think, when I came back from in a Boston uniform and then in a Mets uniform. That was rough.
The Mets, that hurt a little bit.
That hurt me. Having to do it, but it was a demographic thing, a geographic thing, and not demographic, geographic, and
yep.
and that was the reason why I was there. So
interesting,
yeah.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question. All right, so two different questions. The first: do you think the Eagles should pick up Jordan Davis's 5th-year option for 2026 for $12.9 million? Yes or no? Rhea, would you? $12.9 million for Jordan Davis 2 seasons from now. They've got to make that decision. I believe it's by this Thursday.
Absolutely.
Why?
I think he's a lot better for what they do than, and I get it, the snaps aren't there. He needs to be in better shape. But what we saw in the playoffs, I loved what I saw in the playoffs. I mean, he had really good numbers. I just think he's a space eater. And I think that having him for, you know, having that fifth year option, so that gives him 2 more years, right?
That would give, yeah, it would be this upcoming season and then the next one. But here's the thing, if they don't do it, then he's a free agent after this upcoming season.
Yeah, and if they don't do it, then they have to start over again. And I just, I like him more than most.
Okay. Second poll question. James Seltzer, you get a crack at this one.
Mm-hmm. The answer is no.
Should James Seltzer's missed day of work yesterday due to airline issues count as a vacation day?
Yeah, no.
So what does it count as?
Don't really care.
No, hold on,
A sick day, I guess.
So no, it's a limbo.
I mean, it's not a vacation. Like, it wasn't vacation. It wasn't a chosen day where I chose to do something other than work.
But in the HR department of the Odyssey company, it's got to be put down as something. Like,
it didn't have to be if you didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah. Well,
travel. So we travel day. Yeah, can we get travel days?
The man didn't have to come in. He came in. That's a grinder. He came in before he had to go.
That's
came
true, too. I did. On that Friday. I came in to do Beat the Hammer. I had to fly on a separate plane.
Hold up.
Real quick. I had to fly on a separate plane from my daughter and my wife because they left Thursday night. I stayed here an extra night so that I could come in Friday after the first round of the draft, be here for that, and to do Beat the Hammer. And then I left after Hammer because that's when I had to leave to catch my flight that I took separate from my wife and kid just so I could be here on Friday.
So I just want to make sure I understand this right. You're claiming between Friday and Monday combined, zero vacation was used when you only worked half a day.
Yes.
Half of one day.
Mm-hmm.
1.5 shows you missed.
I was here on Friday.
1.5 shows you missed, and you're claiming zero vacation.
Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly what it is.
I'm with Seltzer on that.
Thank you.
Let's find out.
Thoughtful enough to come in. I think he was. I think he believed he deserves a little love here. You're fine, Seltzer.
Thank you, Ruben. Thanks,
you're good.
James, I'm privately on your side, but publicly.
You've made it public.
I'm just asking callers at 215-592-9494. Give me a ruling here. The man worked half a show. Friday, he worked from 6 to 8, wasn't here from 8 to 10, missed all of Monday, and is somehow claiming zero vacation use.
He gets in at 4, so technically. Yeah.
And airline issues, too. It wasn't like I chose this,
all right,
this day.
Someone let us know the outcome of how that should go down in the HR department. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute, what Nick Sirianni said yesterday at the White House. Sirianni's remarks as the Eagles were honored. We'll get to that in 1 minute. Hey, Tasty Cake, they've got a treat for every John. Peanut butter fans, you got the candy cakes. The chocolate-coated cakes, my favorite, by the way. They are my favorite. The candy cakes, chocolate-coated cakes with a creamy layer of peanut butter inside. Of course, you got the classics, the crimpets, probably my second favorite. Big fan of that as well. Light sponge cakes topped with rich icing. Donut lovers, you got options for days upon days. The frosted mini donuts, the powdered mini donuts, and, of course, do not forget the delicious new Dippin' Sticks flavor. I'm sure you, like I, have been eating Tasty Cake pretty much your whole life. It's what we do throughout the Delaware Valley. Tasty Cake. You know, there's so many uniquely satisfying treats to choose from, but it's no surprise, this greatness, because we've known it our whole life. It's Tasty Cake, except no substitutes. All right, let's listen to Nick Sirianni. Eagles yesterday at the White House were honored. All the remarks were short. I mean, obviously, they had a lot to move through. And when Eagles representatives would speak, they kept it short and sweet. Let's listen to Sirianni yesterday at the White House.
Thank you, Mr. President, for having us here. We also appreciate the endorsement for the tush push. We really appreciate that. And go Birds!
So the tush push thing's coming back into focus, by the way, because that ruling's coming down in May. Remember, the commissioner delayed it to May. So we'll see. I mean... You know, Goodell spoke over the weekend and did not sound like he's backing off his quest to get it out. He didn't say it as clearly as I just said it, but it's basically what he said.
Yeah, he's made it clear.
He's made it clear.
He wants it gone.
He wants it gone. And here's the deal. You know the Eagles are one team that are absolutely going to vote to keep it. And then Lurie's got to rally 8 other owners to get to 9 total votes to keep it.
So, how many favors you think are being swapped? What kind of back, you know, room dealings
James,
are happening?
James, you ready for this? I'm going to ask this question. Yeah. I'm going to ask this question to all Eagles fans. Would you trade a seventh-round draft pick to keep the Tush Push?
Absolutely. Okay. Without even thinking twice.
I knew the answer. I knew the answer. Would you trade a sixth-round draft pick?
Yes. Yeah, I would.
Would you trade a fifth-round
pick? Yes.
Would you trade a four?
I don't think so.
No. Yes, I would.
I think four is my limit.
It's too important a play for them. It's too important.
John, let's say the Houston Texans, or that last vote. John Ritchie, would you trade the Houston Texans a four? Boy, would this be dirty. For them to vote to keep the Tush Push.
No, I'm not a big believer in these rookies. I really do feel like it's like one in every four.
Can you imagine
that? You might get one that's legit.
You know, it's funny. It used to be the Wild West in sports with stuff like that. Obviously, stuff like that doesn't go on right now. I mean, we don't think. You know, the Celtics got Bill Russell
because
the team that had the number one pick agreed to a deal with the Celtics. I think that guy either owned the circus or the Ice Capades was one of them.
No.
And he always wanted to get his act in the Boston Garden in the winter for 2 weeks. And the Celtics, Red Auerbach never wanted to give up the Garden for 2 weeks and go on the road for two straight weeks. And Auerbach knew Russell was the guy to take, had the second pick.
Wow.
Auerbach went to his owner and said, I think if we cut this deal, we can get Russell. We got to let the other owner get the Boston Garden for 2 weeks. He won't take Bill Russell. The other owner agreed to it. That's how the Celtics won 11 titles in 13 years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'd say
is that outrageous?
That backroom deal was exactly
outrageous.
What they needed.
It's nonsense.
Here's another one. Do you know that Auerbach drafted Larry Bird?
That one I do
Ruben,
know.
Some of you know this. Larry Bird still had a year to go in college. Auerbach drafted him.
Okay. I did.
And
there was no rule against it
at the time.
There was no rule against it.
Well, he's a
like he hadn't declared. He hadn't declared for the NBA draft. Right. It was complicated because he went to Indiana and then
Indiana State.
No,
went to Indiana.
He went to Indiana.
Yeah, I got you.
Then he goes to Then he goes to like a junior college or something down there, like something random. Then he goes to Indiana State, and so like that draft, he hadn't actually declared. And Auerbach took him with the sixth pick, and people were like, you can't take him. And he's like, yeah, I can.
And there's no rule against it.
And he got Larry Bird. And then Larry Bird played his final year at Indiana State. That's how he built two different dynasties.
A professional draft.
He's like, check the rule book. Yeah, I can.
Okay, so he, for whatever reason, after that draft, crazy. Did they create something?
Yes, they changed the rule.
Immediately after that draft, you must declare before being drafted.
Yeah, you got to declare.
Yeah.
but that must be the draft that caused it, right?
I would imagine. I get a little twisted on some of that, but yeah, that's, in a nutshell, that's what happened.
What a
pioneer.
Man. Wild.
Well, Joe, do you believe that the Browns were strong-armed into taking Shador? Because they looked really unhappy. That was the weirdest reaction I saw from a GM and a coach ever with a player. It was weird.
Do you think they were strong-armed by the owner?
The league owner or whatever?
Because it was overtaking, you know, everybody at the draft.
And people were talking about collusion and like there was all kinds of stuff happening there, you know?
It was becoming such
a talking
point.
The NFL did not like the talking points that were happening. That does.
Wow. I'm telling Joe, go back and look at it thinking a different thing because Andrew Berry looks like he ate a bad clam.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's amazing.
And it will be amazing if the guy actually ends up becoming a really good player.
Look, he could be the best quarterback they have.
They have seven.
Well, they have 100.
Yeah, but they don't really have a guy who's the guy.
No.
Well, they do have a quarterback.
They signed one.
They have a quarterback who is in victory formation for the Super Bowl. Okay.
Oh, Kenny.
Oh yeah. I thought you were saying Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco.
Well, I don't know if that was a victory. I don't remember how that game ended. But
I still got to rip Sirianni on this one, and I'm a Sirianni
guy. Not putting Jalen back in.
Jalen should have been back in the game for the final snap.
I agree.
He should have been in the game for the final snap.
He was celebrating.
I don't think that.
With the backup O-line?
Yeah, I put them all back in. Put them in for a snap.
That's not a bad idea.
I would have put them in. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny Pickett, like that visual.
Next time.
That visual, which no one, by the way.
Nice, right?
They're not too worried about it.